Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for today is the gospel lesson. My habit on Sunday morning, if I'm not somewhere early, is to turn on Zion Lutheran Church in Belleville, Illinois, where my nephew Chris frequently preaches. And this morning, his text was the exact same one as mine. I only got to listen to the first 10 minutes because I needed to come here, but we were both in sync, so either both Zion Belleville and you are going to get a good sermon, or you're both going to be shortchanged. The Bible is wonderful and powerful. The Bible is full of words of sweet comfort. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you believe, you have eternal life. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. If you believe, if you have faith, then you have promised that your sins are forgiven and the promise that you will spend eternity with God in heaven. Through faith, you can be positive that you will live with God. And the further great good news is you don't have to earn this. You don't need to deserve it. My favorite verse, as you probably know by now, is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own doing, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God gives us the gift of faith. God gives us the forgiveness of sins. God gives us eternal life. You don't need to somehow earn it. God gives it to you. The Bible also says God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to be saved. And yet not everyone will be saved. The verse in which Jesus comforts us and says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, ends by saying, but he that believes not will be condemned. Some are going to be separated from God for all eternity. There have always been questions about this. Questions about who will be saved and who won't be. In our gospel account, the question was put to Jesus this way. Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Jesus is asked, Lord, will only a few be saved? We hear the same question today in different ways. Someone will say, surely somehow, some way, God will take care of everyone. Surely a loving and kind God couldn't condemn anyone. Don't you think that ultimately, somehow, everyone will be saved? After all, it doesn't really matter what you believe. What matters is that you're sincere. Someone else will say, well, we all worship the same God. We just call him by different names. There are various ways to ask it or say it, but what people are really expressing or asking is, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? What do you think? What do you think? Ultimately, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what the rest of your family feels. It doesn't matter what the official position of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is. What do you think the Bible says about this topic? Are only a few going to be saved? It's an important question. If all roads ultimately lead to God, then we can ignore it. There's little to worry about. But if Jesus' words, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, are true, we had better be concerned. We had better listen. We had better try to understand, and understand not only for ourselves, but for others whose lives we touch. So let's listen to Jesus' answer to the question, are only a few going to be saved? Jesus said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. First, we must understand that when we talk about this door, we're talking about Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says clearly, "For whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whoever believes in Jesus Christ is not condemned, verse 18 says, after John 3:16. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Make every effort to enter by the narrow door means make every enter by having faith in Jesus Christ. But why is the door narrow? There's an old joke you've probably heard, but bear with me. Man dies and goes to heaven, and St. Peter greets him at the gate, and in other questions he says, "What denomination are you?" And the man says, "Well, I was a Methodist." And St. Peter says, "They're way down at the end of the hall. I'll show you how to get there." They go by a room where there are a lot of people singing loudly, and they're surrounding a large tub of water. And he says, "Those are the Baptists there." Goes by another room, and some are playing bingo, but many others are lighting candles and fervently praying. And Peter says, "Those are the Catholics." They go by yet another room with people wearing old-fashioned clothes and sitting quietly in prayerful meditation. And he says, "Those are the Amish." And then St. Peter goes, "Shh, we have to tiptoe past this next room." They tiptoe past the room, and then the man turns to Peter and says, "Well, why do we have to be quiet and tiptoe?" He said, "Well, those are the Lutherans. They think they're the only ones up here." We are not that narrow. But we do believe that only people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will get to heaven. Well, what does believing in Jesus Christ mean? Means we believe he was not only true God, but he was true man, come into this world to fulfill the law perfectly, to be an acceptable sacrifice. We believe that he suffered, died, and was rose again. We believe that when he died on the cross, he paid for our sins, and he paid once for all time. It means that although he died on the cross, we believe he came out of the tomb on the third day, victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil. Believing in Jesus Christ means that we believe that right now he sits at the right hand of God, where he lives and reigns and rules and will for all eternity. Truly believing in Jesus Christ believes he's the only way to heaven. That's great good news. Good news for people like me and like you that are lost and condemned on our own, to know we are not on our own. We are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. But when you think about the entire world, believing in Jesus Christ is a narrow door. Think of China. Millions upon millions of people, many of whom have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, the great preponderance of which surely do not believe he is their Lord and Savior. Think of millions and millions of Muslims in our world whose religion rejects Jesus Christ as God. Think of millions upon millions in the Eastern religions like Hinduism and Buddhism, who teach basically that if you're good enough and gradually perfect your life, ultimately you'll get to God. Think of the millions upon millions who are agnostics. That means they say there may be a God, there may not be a God, but I don't really care and I don't think it makes any difference. And sadly, think of the millions who are Christian in name only. They claim the name, but don't really believe what Jesus Christ said, that he is the one and only way to eternal life. The path of religion is wide, but the way to true God is narrow. Jesus' answer to, "Lord, are only a few going to be saved," seems to be, before you start worrying about the entire world, look to yourself. Do you believe in me as your Lord and Savior? Make sure you are entering by the narrow door. Why? Jesus said many will try and will not be able to enter. Once the owner of the house gets up and shuts the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." I want you to picture the time of Noah. He preached, for 600 years, I think it was. Finally, the ark is built and the rain starts to come. Can you imagine the people who hadn't listened to Noah, but when the rain really started coming down and the water started coming up, made their way to the ark? Those who came only after the rain started. Don't you imagine that anyone near the ark went to it and started pounding on the door and saying, "Noah, let us in"? But God had shut the door, and Noah was not allowed to open it. Jesus said, when the door to heaven is shut on judgment day, people will say, "But we ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets." Do you think anyone outside, Noah, you know me. You preached in my street. I saw you there. Noah, we ate a meal together. Noah, please let me in. When the day of judgment comes, I wonder how many will be hollering, "But Lord, I went to church when I was a kid. Lord, you know what wonderful Christians my parents were. Lord, remember I sent my kids to Sunday school, didn't go myself. Lord, I used to follow you." The Bible paints a harsh picture here. The one who shuts the door, the one who will make the final judgment says, "I don't know who you are or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers." Those who do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Lord and Savior of all are going to be rejected. Those not committed to Jesus Christ are going to be rejected. And it will not be a pretty sight. The next verse says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The old version that I remember said, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Tears. The grinding of your teeth, wailing in anxiety and despair. But not for everyone. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. People from all over the world are going to come to Jesus Christ and be given the gift of eternal life and perfect joy in heaven. All who believe in Jesus Christ will live with him in heaven. I want you to think back for a minute to a teenager. It'll take some of us longer to get back to being teenagers than others of you. Let's suppose you have an opportunity to go to a concert. It's for the most popular singer or group of your day. And depending on your age, that might be Frank Sinatra or Elvis Presley or the Beatles or Diana Ross and the Supreme or Bruce Springsteen or the Rolling Stones or the Grateful Dead or Taylor Swift. Doesn't matter. You want to go. You really want to attend this concert. And they're told all you have to do to get a ticket is go to your high school, and the principal is handing out tickets. Go get your ticket, and you can come to the concert. The tickets are free. And everyone who goes to get a ticket and comes gets in. But once you're in line at the concert, you start to hear some grumbling from a few people because they're upset they don't have a ticket and they're not going to be let in. They say things like, "Well, I meant to get around to getting a ticket. I just ran out of time. Our friends have tickets. Can't I get in on theirs? It's not fair you made us go all the way to high school to get a ticket for this concert. We went to City Hall, but they wouldn't give us a ticket there." We wouldn't have a whole lot of sympathy for them, would we? They knew what to do. They just didn't want to obey. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to do what they were told. The way to heaven is narrow. The only way is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's not my call. That's not your call. That's not our decision. It's not for us to debate it or try to change it or think what it should be. It's for us to know and understand and deal with it. We are people of faith, people who know that Jesus Christ loves and forgives us in spite of everything that has happened in our lives, and he promises us the forgiveness of sins and that we'll be with him. Yes, the way is narrow, but it's not impossible. It's easily within our reach. If we turn to Jesus Christ, it's very easy. God calls, gathers, enlightens, pleads for us to hear his voice and to follow him. And he promises to be with us in this life, going hand in hand through all the things that we have to endure. Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Maybe we can't save the whole world. Maybe we can't tell everyone the great good news. But let's be concerned that at least a few more will hear and see an example of Christian faith because of their contact with us. As we speak with them, as we try to live an example, and the Holy Spirit then blesses our effort. This isn't in my text, but it's in my mind. What if you were the last one at the high school getting the tickets and the principal said, you know, I got a couple hundred more here. Would you just take them to the concert? What would you do with those tickets? Would you give it to some of the complaining ones in line? I think I would, in spite of the fact they could have got it themselves. I think I'd say, here, you're blessed. You get a free ticket. You get to go in. You have those tickets in your hands. You know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You know he's the one and only way of salvation. Dare we not share that great good news with anyone we know that needs to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? Let us recommit to being people of God and living our faith every day. And then let's pray for and witness to those who still need to hear the great good news, who need to be pointed to the narrow door. Lord, are only a few going to be saved? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, if you believe, you have eternal life. If you believe, you are on the narrow path, headed for the narrow door right now. And you will live with him forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.